Blog Talk Radio.
Tell the Truth Tuesday.
Hey,
I'm
y'all,
here.
It's your girl, Scott. So, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Stanley and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh, no, I don't know people that look like that. Shit, yes, you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. It's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott.
Well, it is April the 21st, 2015. It is the first Tell the Truth Tuesday since my grandmama passed away and since I've been off vacation. So we are going to get right into it. So tonight's show, I basically was saying, is going to be about the evil. And that's a very old school Jay-Z song, probably 15, 20 years ago. And it's basically about people, you know, that continuously have bad luck and they can't catch a break. And then, you know, you have to look at shit and say, you know, well, why is this person always having fucking problems? And unfortunately, I was just talking to my girlfriend about this today. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in life, things just always seem to happen for me. You know, so I can't take shortcuts. I can't deal with people that suck my energy away from me or that mean me harm or that have a bad energy, and I can't settle for certain things because it ends up reversing on me and then I get this adverse effect. So, you know, recently, obviously, my grandmother passed away, and while I was in Houston, because I have to talk about this because it's something that's been bothering me, and Tell the Truth Tuesday, again, was started to promote mental health, and it was started to tell the truth about certain things that we would hold inside instead of just coming out saying it. And I feel 100% better. I don't have anxiety attacks. I don't have panic attacks. I don't have any of those issues. When I just speak the truth and just, you know, if it hurts your feelings, it's the way I felt. Everyone's feelings are valid, because people sure do have no problem telling me how the fuck they feel. So I had an issue with a family member. She's my cousin. And I'm not going to get into the whole history about her and my family, but what I will say is that we were reunited with her about 9 years ago. And so she surfaced in Atlanta. And obviously, y'all know I'm in Atlanta all the time, especially when I lived in Tampa, when I lived, you know, out there. And I would be in Atlanta all the time. So I went, I hung out with her. She was married. And at the time, I was going through a divorce. And there's different kinds of married people. And one of the reasons I'm not cool with somebody else is someone else that I was, that was very near and dear to me, is because they start to separate the single and divorced people from the married people. And then all of a sudden, when everyone gets married, they're not a whore anymore. They're Socrates. They're not, you know, everything is infallible. Their husband would never do this. Their kids would never do that, you know, and it just, it turned into a torturous issue with one of, you know, my girlfriends. Well, recently when I was in Atlanta, I saw my cousin Davina, who is a fellow writer, and she was telling me, hey, you know, I ran into someone that said they knew you. And then when she said the name, I was like, of course I know her. That was like my best friend for like 20 something years. And she said, yeah, she told me that you don't talk to her and y'all don't speak. And I'm like, pause. First of all, it's not that I don't talk to you. It's just, I don't fuck with you, period, in general. And the reason that I don't fuck with you, and I'll reiterate it because it's actually going to go into a chapter in my book about sisterhood, is the fact that some people do not know how to be women, therefore they don't know how to be friends, and therefore they can't offer you anything but who they are. And you either have to accept that or you have to move on. I'm the thoughtful one out of my friends, and it doesn't mean that I'm better or worse than anybody else. My friend Kendra is the efficient one. She's the one that's like, okay, well, I can't go and sit online all day and pick out patterns for this, or, you know, like I can plan 15 whole weddings and baby showers in 3 days, but that's a trait and a skill learned from my mother, my grandmother, my aunts, and things like that. Everyone's a creative. That's not Kendra's thing. Kendra's thing is, you know, time management. So instead of her going and, you know, worrying about, you know, ribbons and things like that when she sends my son gifts, you know, it's always, you know, a gift card or something that he'll really enjoy because she's trying to get quick and to the point. And I realize that, and that's why our friendship works. My friendship didn't work with some other people because everything was one-sided, okay? And just because someone was your friend doesn't mean they were a good friend, you know? And so I'm not hurt anymore by the situation, unfortunately. But what I don't like is that you're standing there talking to my cousin, that, you know, that's my cousin, about a situation, and it was amazing to me in the setting that she was in, and I'm glad that maybe she learned the sisterhood rule, that maybe she has good friendship and kinship with this particular person, which, in fact, I introduced her to because they lived in the same city, you know, and I'm hoping that she's learning that. She's an only child, you know what I mean? She's, you know, raised by her mom or grandma, you know, so I'm hoping that she's getting better with learning how to be a friend. Because being a friend is a lot more than just showing up to birthday parties and sending gifts. You understand what I'm saying? And I look at all the dark times and places in my life, and she wasn't there. And it doesn't stem around one incident, as she would probably like to think. It stems around the fact that before my mother passed away, one of the last things that you said in the kitchen, lady, with my mother standing right there, was, you don't know who the fuck, I don't know who the fuck you are. And one of the last things my mother said was, tell her, if we don't know who the fuck she is, tell her we don't need no new friends. Okay? And so when my mother was laid to rest, no flowers, no nothing. You know what I mean? Not a card, not a nothing. I live in a very small town. We have maybe two or three funeral homes, but everyone in the history of life should know that I deal with Williamson Funeral Home because that's my family. So you mean to tell me that you didn't know what funeral home my mother was being, you know, buried at, or, you know, whatever, and you're good friends with someone that lives up this, like, I went to high school with this person. I went to school with this person. So it just, you know, it wasn't important to you. And so I had to start learning to say, if it's not important to some people, it shouldn't be important to me. So with that being said, you know, I respect all my time in any relationship, whether it was a personal relationship, a sexual relationship, a friendship. I respect my time in all those relationships and learn things from them. And that's when I learned that I'm not, you know what I mean? When I became divorced, you know, it's not like I'm public enemy number one, but there are certain people that will make you feel like they're better than you because they were able to maintain a marriage. That's not true. You know what I mean? I'm not able to maintain hurt, pain, being cheated on, or I can't maintain like that. I'll go to jail. You know what I mean? So people that are able to do that, kudos to you. You know what I mean? And yes, when I got married, I took my vows very seriously, but at the same time, I went through a lot of stuff. And there's another girlfriend that I was friends with 20-something years that I cut off at the time that my mother died. I lost two friends, not just one, but two, and, you know, permanently. Now, let me get to my cousin. Oh, and by the way, my grandmother passed away, which one of them was, you know, she knew her, and I'm sure somewhere, some way, either way it goes, we still never received a card from my grandmother dying, which she used to come over there and hang with me. So that's what I'm saying. There's just a difference, you know what I mean, in the type of people that I deal with now, whereas my one girlfriend actually flew to town to, you know, be with me during the time that my grandparents died, and she met my grandmother maybe twice. You know what I mean? So that just shows you the difference where I'm at in headspace. So it's not that I'm mean. It's not that I don't speak to you. I just don't fuck with you. You know what I mean? You're a bad person. You've done bad things. So have I. But at the same time, I never swayed away from being someone's friend. So to meet one of my family members and tell them that I don't fucking talk to you, the funny response my cousin said was, she goes, I thought that maybe it was just some person you had beef with on Facebook. And that's how reduced and minuscule you are in my life right now, that someone, you wouldn't even recognize your name because I don't speak about you at all. So the fact that you felt that you need to introduce yourself, and the person that was having the party knew that Davina is my cousin, you know, and kudos to her, congratulations on her baby, but I had to let her go too because we were never that close, the other girl whose party it is. We weren't that close. I knew her, you know, everything was cool, but I just felt like if you're choosing one person's side, you know what I mean, then you choose to stand over there permanently. You know what I mean? I don't need extra friends. I don't need any of that. So let me get back to my cousin because this is something that's really bothering me. And I know that my uncles probably listen to this show, my Uncle Melvin, my Uncle Michael, they're preachers, my cousin Lorenzo. So my grandmother dies a couple Tuesdays ago. I'm in Houston. My son is with his dad. I was trying to practice solitude because it's something that when you grow up with siblings and things like that, you don't really get much time to yourself. And so as mothers, as women, we need just time by yourself. And I'm not just talking about like a library, you know, going to the library for a minute. I'm not talking about when you're grocery shopping or sitting in your car in a garage. I'm talking about I needed a minute, you know. So he's with his dad. What better place to be? So my uncle calls me. I'm at Kona Grill at happy hour with my baby boy, Rob. And I'm at Kona Grill and Galleria Mall in Houston. And my uncle calls me and he's like, hey, you know, why don't you, your cousin's down there. And I'm like, my cousin who? He says her name. I'm like, wow, I thought she was still in Atlanta. She had recently gone through a nasty divorce, lost custody of her children, pause. And she just all around, I never liked her. I never did. I had to check her a few years ago because of a comment that she said about my uncle, who is her father. But they didn't grow up together. And that's a whole nother situation. So she has resentment issues, bitter issues about that. But really, they should be directed towards the mother because my uncle never, you know, denounced her or anything like that. The mother, you know what I mean, took her away from my uncle. So I end up telling, because I don't want to do it, okay? I don't want to do it because I don't like her. You know what I mean? I just met her when I'm, you know, in my 30s going through a divorce because we just, you know, found her and all this other stuff. So upon meeting her in Atlanta, this was years ago, she has a daughter, same age as my son, about a year apart, and she's one of those people, and she grew up in Africa, so she was living in Africa, and she says, yes, you know, that's a really nice shirt, and woe is me, and I'm like, oh, if you like the shirt, go ahead and get it. So she gets the shirt. So we're, you know, walking, and remember, I'm going through a divorce. I'm no different than anybody else. At the time, I was in the real estate industry, you know, as a broker, so, you know, on the mortgage side. And then she's like, you know, it would be really nice if I had the pants. What? Okay, no. So I just, you know, there were just certain things that she was saying, like her husband doesn't eat leftovers and all this stuff. You guys are fucking poor. You're claiming you're poor. You live in a two-story house. You're doing better than me. You have a two incomes. You know what I mean? But yet you have no food in your refrigerator. So as a family member, I'm not going to let you starve to death. So whatever I put in this cart, that's what the fuck you're going to eat because it's not your money. It's my money. So she said some things that rubbed me the wrong way about how my uncle never did anything for her, this, that, and the third. And I don't dare tell my uncle that because it would hurt his feelings. You know, I just didn't talk to her ever again. So I'm in Houston, fast forward. I'm at Kona Grill, and my uncle calls me, hey, Niecy, why don't you, you know, your cousin's there. I'm like, my cousin who? And he's like, well, can I give her your number to call you? And, you know, grandma just died, and, you know, she's supposed to be coming up here this week. And I'm like, well, fuck, if I got to see her anyway, fine. So she texts me like 2.5 seconds later. Look, I'm like, okay. So I said, well, come to the pool. Now she has another daughter. She has two. So she has one that's like 3 or 4 years old, and then she has one that's 10. And she says, oh, you know, that's great, da 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 da. And she speaks with this accent. And she says, I'll come down there, you know, Wednesday before you leave or Thursday before you leave. I'm like, cool. So she comes, brings the kids. I have my soiree of people at the pool. We're sitting there. We're chilling. And she starts telling me the sob story again. And she tells me that she's, you know, she's not working and she's laid off. Again, every time I talk to this motherfucker, there is something wrong. And the funny thing is that everybody always talks about Robert Greene's The 48 Laws of Power, but they always forget, like, the major ones, like disassociate yourself with the unlucky. You know what I mean? Never accept the free lunch. You know, these are important factors in The 48 Laws of Power, but everybody only wants to talk about the most popular ones. So I try not to associate myself with the unlucky. And likewise, if people do the same to me when I was unlucky, okay, that's fine. So she's just a bad person. And I've come to the conclusion that sometimes when you keep seeing people post memes on social media, like, you know, God, there's a test and testimony and all this other crazy shit, why do you keep having to go through a test? If you pass the motherfucker the first time, God is not like that. He's not going to keep coming back and make you have to suffer for the same shit over and over again if you learned your lesson the first goddamn time. That's why I never date the same dude again. If one dude put his hand on me, I promise you, the next dude ain't going to do the same thing. And it ain't going to happen again. Because they'll get beat the fuck up, not just by me, but just by, like, motor vehicles, motorcycles running you over, bowling balls from the sky, whatever. So she's always unlucky. I don't want to hear about it. She starts crying. We are at a pool. Motherfucker, it's in the middle of the day, life is good, and you over here crying. That shit don't work with me because I'm already not liking you because of the shit that you said about my uncle years prior. So then she turns around and tells me that my uncle never does anything for her, that she was sending money to the family members. Now you done pissed me off because, A, it's a lie, and, B, I said to her, I said, you know, for as much as you're in the church and our grandmother just died, and for you to sit here and talk about your father again 8 years later, okay, you know, it's really funny to me. I said, what have you done for your father, though? Because I think in the Bible it says something like, honor thy mother and thy father, okay? So you want my family to support you, and you are 42, 43 years old. I said, you know how many times I've had to go to the family for money? She said, how many times? I said, zero. And that's why I'm respected. That's why all the young. I said, listen, we have a rite of passage in our family. Which one of the younger children that are college bound or high school bound have you picked to come and stay with you for the summer? Okay, because, you know, when I was younger, I would go there. That's how I met my best friend. You know, I would go there. I'm 11, 12 years old, and I would go stay the whole summer with my grandparents, or I would go stay with my Aunt Nita. You know what I mean? And that's where I learned, you know, my culture, my family, how to be a woman, how to do certain things, how to dress, how to cook certain things and be around to just to be family. So she's like, none of them. I said, so why are you worried about what somebody can do for you and you haven't done shit for nobody else? You can't do that. I said, the crying stuff doesn't work with me. You know what I mean? Our grandmother just passed away, and here you are talking about what somebody can't do for you, yet you can't do anything for yourself. So then I start going into why she lost custody of her children. Because, I mean, from what I understand, you could smoke crack, throw your children out the window to pit bulls, and they'll let you keep your kids. So I've never seen anyone lose their kids. You go, I don't know. I don't know why they took me. You know why, motherfucker. Just tell the truth. So then I, you know, the whole situation ends. I don't really give her a hug or anything. I'm just like, I bid you adieu. And so she says she's coming to Pittsburgh on Sunday because that's where my grandmother's services were. So she says, yeah, I'll be there on Sunday or Saturday. Someone from the church, thank God, is going to get me a ticket and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. You found someone else to leech off. I get to my grandparents. She's not there. Now, I flew from Houston to Atlanta, went to Atlanta Friday, spent the weekend there with my other parents, Kendra's parents, and then flew back to Buffalo that Monday. And then as soon as I got in the car, thank God for always carrying a little black dress, as soon as I got in the car, we drove to Pittsburgh. That wasn't part of it. So what ends up happening is I get to Pittsburgh and she's not there. And so then I find out that I guess somebody couldn't give her the ticket. So now I'm starting to, you know, talk to the family. We're talking about everything. And I come to find out that she's taken money from almost every single one of my family members, including the younger generation. So my one cousin that's, you know, in his 20s, you know, who was unemployed at the time. And I said, you know, we call that throwing good money after bad. You can't borrow money from a motherfucker and you don't have the money to pay it back and they don't have it. And the fact that you would even take money from your younger cousin that's not working, from your uncle, from your aunt, from your cousin, and then talk shit about us, right, makes me sick. Okay, then I find out that she was saying that she didn't want to clean rooms or clean houses because she felt it was beneath her. Because when she was in Africa, she had servants. Well, you ain't in Africa no motherfucking more, and this ain't coming to America. You should have got a fucking job like the rest of us. You understand what I'm saying? And I just feel so terribly disrespected at the fact that, okay, in your absence, let's say you couldn't get it the fuck together, you're laid off, I don't care. My one cousin drove from Texas. He lives in Killeen, Texas. He drove from Texas. My other family members drove from Alabama. Like, I don't care what you needed to do. And you're on unemployment. It's not that serious. But you made sure you came to the pool, though, and sat and drank champagne with me and my friends that I worked for. So I just feel like, you know, that was a real piece of shit move. I don't have anything to say to her. And then the fact that she's pissed off pretty much every single family member. We don't owe you anything. Nobody owes you anything. I don't give a fuck if you're little orphan fucking Annie. Nobody on this earth owes you any motherfucking thing. You got to go out there and get it for your fucking self. Somebody don't want to rock my shit? Cool. I'll find somebody else that want to rock it. Somebody don't want to pick up my calls? Cool. I'll find somebody that'll pick up the calls. Somebody don't want to give me a fucking job? Cool. I'll go get another job or I'll create one. That's how you have to be. So y'all motherfuckers be posting pictures of lions and shit and talk about, you're not really about that struggle life. I'm not put here to fucking struggle, okay? And every time I struggle, it's because I'm trying to help somebody or I fucking feel sorry for somebody when I really should be fucking handling my business, feeling sorry for the future of my fucking child and what's going on with my kid. You taking money out of other people's mouths, then you want to fix your face and tell my uncle basically he ain't shit because he don't ever do nothing for you. Motherfucker, you're grown. Hear me when I say it again. You're fucking grown. Nobody should have to. And then I find out she depleted, you know, one of my grandmother's accounts and shit like that. You ain't shit. And if you listening, I want you to know you ain't shit. Don't you text me. Don't you call me. Don't call nobody else in that house because I promise you, you're not going to hear nothing that you think you want to hear. Don't call and say, hi, I was thinking about you. Fuck you. You didn't even send flowers to your grandmother's grave. You didn't send a card. You didn't call nobody and say, sorry, I couldn't be there. Everybody goes through the struggle. And we could have understood that. Okay, but you over here worried about all these other fucking things, and yet you couldn't get money together to fly to see your grandmother be put in the grave, but yet you took money from her. You took money from everybody in the house. You are a modern day motherfucking peddler and beggar. That's exactly what you are. You are a peddler and a beggar, and that's horrible. You're too old for that shit. Okay, so now that I got that off my chest, because the wound is not, you know, is new, and I'm not being disrespectful, you know, to my uncles. I didn't say no names, but that's my family. You know what I mean? You don't come in and just disrespect everybody in the house and think that we all don't talk. I could call any one of my aunts, any one of my uncles right now, and they will take my phone call. You can't say the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a bad person. You really are. You're a bad person, and I hope that you never call me ever again because that what you did was just horrible. And you remind me of the type of motherfuckers that I used to deal with that didn't give a fuck about nobody but themselves. You know what I mean? And so you could say whatever you want to say. I don't have to take money from nobody because even when I ever asked anybody for any money, nobody ever had it other than my one homegirl, which we talk about in the book. So like I said, I'm just hoping that everybody just understands that, you know, you got to be responsible for your own legacy. You can't, you know, sit up there and blame everybody else for your fucking problems because after a certain age, like 20-something, it doesn't hold any weight. It doesn't hold any weight, and no one cares about what the fuck you're saying. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm doing well, whatever. I try to help whenever I can help for anybody. But at the end of the day, like, I don't have no money to help motherfuckers that don't want to help themselves, and then all you want to do is sit up and talk about my family. You know what I mean? I take that shit very seriously, and motherfucker, you just got here. I've been dealing, you know, been dealing with this family since I'm born, and you just get reintegrated back into the family, and this is how you repay us, by trying to guilt trip everybody into giving you money because you fucked up your life because you chose wrong. We all choose wrong sometimes, but at the end of the day, you keep choosing wrong. The reason that fucked up shit keeps happening to you is because you're a bad person. Let's just face it, not just you. There's other motherfuckers out there right now that every time I turn around, they posting something, oh, woe is me and all this other shit. That's that bad energy. The whole reason that everything is the way it is because you're a bad fucking person. And that's it. So right now, I'm going to leave with J. Cole, G-O-M-D, get off my dick. Don't call my family no fucking more for no money.
Hollywood, go. Go. Hey, Hollywood, go. Go. Know just where I'm at, well, let me tell you about it. I put my city on the map, but let me tell you about it. They try to say I can't come back, hey, let me tell you about it. Man, fuck them niggas, I come back, hey, let me tell you about it. I wanna tell you about it. Heads up, everybody run. Cole outside and he say he got a gun. Niggas like, man, that's what everybody said. Go and pop the trunk and everybody dead. Everybody scared of the nigga, aware that the nigga is better. All my bitches sick of the litter, never bitter. Niggas is fake, they anime. Me, I never hate, get cake like anime. Whoa, eat the cake, bitch, eat the damn cake. Fuck good, nigga, we the man great. Order domino, then she take off all the clothes. Nigga, you know how I go, made the pizza man wait. The best kept secret, even home, try to keep it, then I leave the damn tape. Rest in peace, any nigga won't be secret, so they couldn't keep the man safe. I said to the window, to the wall, my nigga ride when I call. Got bitches all in my mind, fuck nigga blocking my sound. I know the reason you feel the way, I know just who you want to be. So every day I think the man upstairs, and I ain't you and you ain't me. Get off my dick. Them niggas, I come home and I don't tell nobody. They getting temporary dough and I don't tell nobody. Lord, will you tell me if I change? I won't tell nobody. I wanna go back to Jermaine and I don't tell nobody. This is the part that the thugs skip.
Young nigga never had love, you know. Foot massage, back rub shit. Blowing bubbles in the bathtub shit. That is until I met you. Together we done watched years go by. Seen the river, your tears go by. Got me thinking about some kids still. I tell them hoes come through. Get to know somebody and you really learn a lot about them. Won't be long before you start to doubt them. Tell yourself you're better off without them. Then in time you will find can't walk without them. Can't talk without them. Can't breathe without them. Came here together, you can't leave without them. So you walk back in, make a scene about them. On your A-Marie, it's just one thing about them. It's called love. Niggas don't sing about it no more. Don't nobody sing about it no more. No more. Call up, niggas don't sing about it no more. Don't nobody sing about it no more.
Nigga don't sing about this shit.
Put every nigga in the club singing.
To the window, to the wall. My nigga ride when I call. Got bitches all in my mind. Fuck nigga blocking my sound. I know the reason you feel no way. I know just who you want to be. So every day I think the man upstairs. It ain't you and you ain't me. Get off my dick.
Put every nigga in the club singing. Got all the bitches in the club singing.
Singing the song, yeah.
And all the mama little kids singing.
Singing the song, yeah.
The baby mamas and the mistresses.
Singing the song, yeah.